So this is the agenda paper 14. This paper is about the accounting for variable payments for the separate acquisition of PP&Es and intangible assets outside of a business combination. Examples of variable payments include payments that are dependent on sales or revenues, or payments that are made if the asset acquired complies with agreed upon specifications at specific dates in the future. The Interpretations Committee discussed both initial accounting and subsequent accounting for variable payments. The questions that the committee discussed are the following. When should the liability to make variable payments be initially recognized? Should the liability be systematically recognized as soon as the purchaser has agreed to make those variable payments? In particular, for variable payments that are dependent on the purchaser's future activity, should the liability be recognized only when that activity requiring the payment is performed? Once the liability is recognized, should the subsequent adjustment of the liability resulting from the revision of the estimates of payments be systematically recognized in profit or loss, as IAS 39 seems to suggest, or should this adjustment be at least partially adjusted or capitalized as part of the corresponding asset purchased? So these are the questions that the committee discussed. With respect to initial accounting, the committee could not reach a consensus on whether the variable payments that are dependent on the purchaser's future activity should be excluded from the initial measurement of the liability until that activity is performed. In all other cases, that is to say where the payments are not dependent on the purchaser's future activity, the committee agreed that the fair value of these payments should be included in the initial measurement of the liability on the date of purchase of the asset. With respect to subsequent accounting, the committee decided to recommend to the board amending current IFRSs to require that a subsequent adjustment of the carrying amount of a financial liability is recognized as a corresponding adjustment to the cost of the asset in certain circumstances. A summary of the committee's discussions and tentative decisions is shown in the paper. Examples illustrating how this decision would be applied are shown in Appendix A, I think, of the paper. So, the objective of this paper is to ask the ISB whether it agrees with the recommendation of the committee regarding subsequent accounting for variable payments. However, we think that initial accounting and subsequent accounting should be are linked and should be addressed together. As a result, the objective of this paper is also to summarize the committee's discussion regarding initial accounting for variable payments. And the objective is to ask the ISB whether it thinks that this is the right time to discuss the accounting for variable payments, and if so, for its views on the initial accounting for variable payments. So in doing so, we have summarized also requirements regarding variable payments in the leases project, requirements regarding contingent consideration in IFRS 3, and the views developed in the conceptual framework project regarding variable payments. So we note that the ISB discussed accounting for variable payments in the leases project and in the conceptual framework project. We think that variable lease payments and variable payments for the acquisition of assets share common characteristics, and as a result, we think that the ISB should defer the publication of an exposure draft regarding subsequent accounting for variable payments until the proposals on the leases project have been redeliberated. So our first question is the following. Does the ISB agree that the discussions regarding the initial accounting for variable payments should be postponed until the lease's proposals have been re-deliberated.
Mary?
Patrick, I think that if the interpretation committee took up, discussed, and could not reach a conclusion mm-hmm. on the initial accounting when it's dependent on the purchaser's activity, that for this project, we should not try and step in and make it, you know, and take that over and answer the pieces that they couldn't. If the interpretation committee thinks that there would be value from answering the question of initial accounting when it's not dependent on the purchaser activity plus the subsequent accounting, then I think that it should proceed, and I see it as an amendment rather than an interpretation, but that's fine. But I think rather than handing it to us so we can expand the scope to answer the initial accounting when it depends on the purchaser, let's not try to do that. I think we have a number of projects going on now. Conceptual framework is one. And I think the temptation to kind of anticipate developments that are coming rather than answering it in the context of current standards might further blur interpretation committee versus, you know, the board and who's taking the lead. Mm-hmm. If the interpretation committee says that before they ask us to go ahead and publish this, it would be good to wait for leases so that their final consideration of the exposure draft can be informed by the redeliberation, would like to have their recommendation, but I don't think if they come to us answer it, but tell us maybe we want to wait until we have the lease's deliberation for us to answer it in the context of leasing. No, I say let's keep this one in the interpretation committee's, as the lead on this and in the context of current standards.
All right.
Okay.
Perhaps along the lines that Mary spoke, but I felt that the lease's proposal was done after initially the lease's proposals had variable consideration. Then, based on the feedback, although you have correctly identified the basis of conclusion in the leases, does not say whether it is done for expediency's sake or whether there is a theoretical requirement to have it. So I appreciate that the leases basis of conclusion is inconclusive, why the board decided the way it decided. My suggestion to you is that the anchor should be not to the leases project, but the anchor should be to the conceptual framework. Because I think that would be a much better anchor for us to think through. Not that the answer is going to change. I hope it will change, but it may not change. But the anchor, right anchor in my mind, is a conceptual framework. Once that is done, I think, like Mary said, we can let the IFRIC to decide, based on that guidance, how to proceed on the step one, day one, and also day two.
Actually, PK, I was not saying wait for the conceptual framework to be, even the discussion paper, to be redeliberated before the board decides. I was saying, take this back, give it to the interpretation committee and say, if you can't answer that question about variability depending upon the purchaser's actions, conclude whether or not you think it's worth going ahead with the pieces you can decide, rather than saying, because they can't answer that first part, transfer it to us for us to take the primary lead.
Then I take a slightly different tack from you, is that I'll ask them to wait, but wait for the conceptual framework, because the reason they could not come up to a solution based on question one for them is that day one, they could not, because they did not feel they had enough guidance to run with it.
And I think the committee already decided that, and although they did not reach a consensus on initial accounting, they would proceed to and recommend some amendments to current IFRSs regarding subsequent accounting.
Yeah, that I don't agree.
Yeah.
Yes, Philippe?
I do agree that for those adjustments to the price which relate to the use of an index, the committee should proceed and say that the adjustments are taken to P&L. Regarding the variation in the price that is dependent on the usage of the asset, to give an answer on the subsequent accounting without knowing how you do the initial accounting would be very, very weird, in my opinion. I would oppose doing that. So if the committee wants to pursue only on the index-based adjustments, fine. But I would certainly not encourage the issue an answer which is partial on the basic problem, what do you do with variations due to usage?
Yeah, I think if we were to narrow the scope significantly like that, I'm not sure that there would be a lot of benefit in going ahead with it, to be honest. I certainly hear your points. I mean, what the committee, I think, was saying was we could give some guidance on how to do the subsequent accounting, which is dependent on how you did your initial accounting, without needing to get into whether it is within the entities control or not.
That will not reduce diversity. I mean, if you don't know how to do the first accounting, knowing to do it after one doesn't help at all. So I think it will be regarded by many as not helpful, not reducing diversity, and will be controversial. So I prefer that we have a real look at the issue, and I think it's incumbent on ISB to decide, because if we cannot find a basis today, and we need to do that in connection with the thinking in the conceptual framework, which is rightly asking the question, and hopefully be consistent with leasing, because I don't see a difference between acquiring an asset through lease or directly. So let's not press to have an answer through IFRIC on something which is on our side, I think.
By the way, how likely is it that re-deliberations of the leasing proposals will lead to a different outcome on variable payments?
Zero. That's what I'm saying. That's why the right anchor is conceptual framework.
I think leasing is the right answer.
Now you know why I said that.
After allowing the framework into the lease.
I share a similar view with Philippe.
So this means that we
agree
with postponement, but we think that the conceptual framework is a better anchor for that.
What I think is worth getting your collective views on is whether your message back to the Interpretations Committee is halt the whole thing until the conceptual framework, so you've got initial counting as well, or let the Interpretations Committee decide whether or not to proceed on the guidance on subsequent accounting.
Mary?
I don't have enough information to have a view about we need to get, you know, the IFRS world needs to get this done or the accounting IFRS world can wait. But I really would like, if we feed back to the Interpretations Committee, that the board thought that waiting until presumably we had completed our work on conceptual framework rather than just have the initial feedback on the discussion paper would be necessary, would be the right anchor for answering the initial recognition on purchaser, and had some hesitation about them providing subsequent accounting if they couldn't answer initial accounting, then I'd say the question is, you know, back to you, Interpretation Committee, as assessing the need in practice for this. On that basis, do you say hold until conceptual framework, or do you say there is value in answering the indexed ones and restricting to that and asking them how they want to proceed? Mm-hmm. Rather than us saying we think you should do X, when they're the ones who are there to say here's what we think are the pressing issues in practice.
I don't think we need to answer anything about index rate instrument. It's really clear. It's really clear in IS 39 that you apply paragraph AG7, it's P&L.
Then why was the Interpretation Committee recommending to us that we do an amendment to clarify that it's really clear?
This is for financial instruments that are not floating rate instruments. When it's linked to an index that is LIBOR, for instance, it's clear that it's a floating rate instrument that should be accounted for under paragraph AG7 of IS 39. And this part is clear, and the committee said this part is quite clear. But when it's not a floating rate instrument, so for instance, if for variable payments that are based on revenues, you would apply paragraph AG8 of IS 39 and not paragraph AG7, and this is a different mechanism
where the carrying amount of the liability would be adjusted and not the effective interest rate. And in that case, they said, well, what do you do with this adjustment resulting from the application of paragraph 88? Should it be recognized in P&L, as IS 39 currently says, paragraph 88? Or are we saying that no, it means P&L unless another standard is requiring the capitalization of that adjustment, because that meets this meets the definition of an asset? And the committee said, well, for instance, for liabilities that are accounted for under paragraph 88 of IAS 39, if you recognize the liability on day one, and then if you adjust the estimates of payments, this has an impact on the carrying amount of the liability. And in that case, we think that this adjustment should be recognized as a corresponding adjustment to the cost of the asset, because this is a change of estimate, and all changes of estimates in current IFRSs are accounted for prospectively, and as other requirements seem to show, this would adjust entirely the cost of the asset.
And it's because of this issue with AG8 that the Interpretations Committee was saying we think that there should be an amendment made to the standards for the subsequent accounting. So I hear you say, sort of take it back to them and say, well, if you think it's important to go ahead with subsequent accounting, you make that judgment. I think they've made that judgment already, which is what we're bringing to you now.
But he said, you know, if initially you recognize as an asset, then subsequently
as a liability,
changes in the liability should be considered as changes of estimates of the cost basis. I'm right? But then, you know, it depends on initial recognition. You know, if in practice, initially, company recognize differently, then will subsequently have different results. This is why Philippe worried.
Yeah, practice is, there is diverse practice currently. I think what the committee said is, when you consider that there is an obligation on day one and that you have to recognize that liability on day one at fair value, and you include all the fair value of all variable payments on day one in the measurement of that liability, then subsequently when you revise your estimates of payments, then the adjustment resulting from the application of paragraph 88, which would lead to adjusting the carrying amount of the liability, would be recognized as a corresponding adjustment to the cost of the asset. That's what the committee said. And in support of that, they have current requirements regarding changes of estimates in IS 16 and IS 38, and also an interpretation one that supports that view. So, but to answer your question, I agree that there might
be proposal implies the members assert they will usually recognize debit side as asset.
In cases where you consider that you have an obligation on day one and you recognize the fair value of all variable payments initially, then the committee says in that case, this is how you should subsequently.
Yeah, they never recognize.
No. You know, the proposal is, if day one the assets, the debit side is asset, then day two, you know, the changes of the estimate should also adjust to assets if it's related to future benefits.
No.
The subsequent.
No. If on day one you include all the fair value of all variable payments in the initial measurement of the financial liability, and you have also recorded an asset on day one, of course, then when you re-estimate or change the estimates of payments of the financial liability, then they consider that it is a change of estimate, and in that case it's systematically recognized as a corresponding adjustment to the cost of the asset. because in current IFRS's changes of estimates are accounted for prospectively that way. For instance, in IS 16 and IS 38, all changes in estimates of residual values are accounted for prospectively.
What I understand is that the first sentence, you know, the debt decides, the member not decide. This is why Philippe say he won't see, we must show initially how to account for. But what you said is debt decides is really clear.
Daryl? It's a slightly different topic, so I'm not sure Philippe wanted to
go. No, I just want to get back to, because there is a problem of consistency with the accounting for variable payments for a lease. Because if I'm not wrong, when you adjust the liability for variable payments for a lease, you take to the cost of the as right of use the effect for the future use, but if this payment relates to past usage, it goes to P&L.
Yeah.
So I think there is a slight difference with the way the committee thinks about adjusting the cost of an asset directly purchased.
Yeah, there's a difference.
I would like that to be consistent, by the way, because I don't see why the variable payments on the release would be accounted for differently on the debit side as it is for a direct purchase of the asset.
And the committee discussed the way, the requirements in the leases project, but concluded that it's not how it's done today in the current IFRS.
This is why it's urgent not to rush.
Martin?
When I agree with that recommendation, because I think it makes totally sense to address it, the initial and subsequent then treatment of these variable payments. And secondly, I think we have really currently exposing the leasing standard with this variable payments is addressed, and we will get feedback and to answering that now, which I think is similar. I don't see why we should do it now, and therefore I agree with staff recommendation.
Daryl?
I'm just wondering whether we've been consistent in our thinking. We are going ahead with a lot of fairly big projects on the basis that the conceptual framework is happening in its own space and its own time. And we're going ahead with the projects on the basis that taking something like this where potentially we could provide a solution quite quickly and anchoring it to the conceptual framework feels to me like we're now taking a completely different view on something like this. And I wondered whether or not we couldn't in fact provide a solution here fairly quickly. So the conceptual framework we've already decided in the other projects that we do, that the conceptual framework will continue down the side while we complete the projects.
Yeah, I'm where you are, because I think the leasing, this is so analogous to leasing. You know, and you, Mayor, presumably we know what answer we're going to get to. I think I'm inclined to wait for leasing, that's the relevant thing. Not the conceptual frame is 4 years, yeah. You know, before that's effective. Yeah. Leasing hopefully will be done next year.
My problem is to pick up on the leasing thing. The solution that we would then expect to have come from leasing is that we resolve the issue in the basis of conclusions as to why we've made the decision. And I'm not sure that's fundamental to the project. I think we could complete leasing without actually deciding why we took that decision. There's two views of thought on that one. So I'm not sure leasing is the solution.
People
are against for two different reasons.
But that being said, assuming that's the way it goes forward, that they are intellectually different.
No, it couldn't be intellectually different. I'll tell you why. One of the reasons why in the leasing project the variable consideration was backed down is that retail lessees came back and said, I have 1,000 stores, and the one classic example is W.H. Smith, who have footprint in the airports and railway stations in London, England. And they came and said, we have 1,000 stores, we can do the variable consideration on a quarterly basis. That's why the basis of conclusion did it. If I have a single asset, the arguments that are there for 1,000 stores are not present for one asset. So I don't think, Gary, you can brush it off and just say the same thing.
I think you can, because the concept is even variable.
Let's take a position here. This is not.
Yep.
Why don't we just follow the staff recommendation?
I agree. Yeah.
Very good.
15, I think so.
But we can. Are we all done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes. This is the last time that Patrick is in our midst. You are going back to Mazar in France.
Yes.
We wish you, thank you for your contribution to our work. You've been here quite often to tackle difficult issues. And we wish you good luck in the rest of in the future of your career.
Thank you very much.
Does that mean we are saying farewell to our one and only French employee?
You're not
an employee. You're not a staff member.
We are employees.
Huh?
We're staff, we're employees.
Okay.
We're employees.
I know you're French.
Unfortunately, yes. I hope we have a replacement.
You have a replacement, right?
Yep.
Ah, okay. And there's another Frenchman coming.
No.
He
shouldn't be a Frenchman.
But he's
a French woman then.
Who's going through the process? Just going through the process.
See if Vanier doesn't have a job from next year.
All right. Thank you very much. Then we.